This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right side, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score!
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, talking to you live to tape from downtown Glen Burnie, Maryland. Happy Easter, everybody listening, you on the other sides of the earbuds, the speakers, what have you, and wherever you are, be you in the state of Maryland, Commonwealth of Virginia, and of course, the District of Columbia and beyond. Across the great pond known as the Atlantic Ocean, United Kingdom, Europe, wherever you may be, India, doesn't matter to us. Thank you very much for joining us again. It is Easter, as I said, April the 4th, and we're actually in the middle of a game right now, but it's right in our usual slot. So speaking of the usual, back with us after a nice little vacation is the mermaid, the one and only Anna Knox, live from Centerville, Virginia.
Yes, I am back after, 2 weeks. It felt like forever, but I appreciate the time off. I just had stuff to do and was in a meh place, but I'm not anymore. So,
well, the mermaid, she sounded like she was drowning. So,
yeah. Which is for those who teach or have anything to do with looking forward to spring break, is often the case. But the whole virtual, half the class is virtual, half the class is in person, and all the protocols and everything was quite, it's overwhelming, I have to admit. And then, everyone was ready for a break and everyone was on each other's last nerves, and I just thought it would be best if I, took a little hiatus, as they say. And then thank you to Mrs. Blue Liner for filling in. I think you guys had some two great shows, and And now I'm rested, and the weather's fantastic. And the only thing I'm pissed about is sling.
So. Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. But yes, happy Easter to all again. And thanks for coming back, Anna. And hoping you're feeling rested, because we're in playoff mode. We're going to be talking about that, but we're in playoff mode here, as we kind of discussed before we aired. Stick tap to the misses, of course, for filling in admirably, of course.
Yes.
And she herself will be on her way back to the workforce very soon here.
That's good news.
Yeah, definitely. okay, so it was one of those weeks. Wasn't a bad week, but not overall, but it was a very interesting week. I'll put it that way. But something interesting happened to you just before a couple games ago, I believe you just mentioned it. You're going to be having a tough time at least watching the games from now on, as I understand.
Yes. Which I don't know. Maybe I received a shit ton of notices telling me that this was going to happen, but I'm pretty sure I didn't, or I would have been so much more proactive. You can take away all, the other channels I could care less about, but don't take away my NHL channel and don't take away my Bravo. So wanting to watch, it was the Islanders game, and so much hype going into it, and okay, are we ready? And, we're kind of riding off of a win with the Rangers and a loss with the Rangers. And like, you know, what are we going to do? And, you know, Barry Trotz and it's all this craziness. And I go to log in, or not even log in, but just to find the channel. And it tells me it's been blacked out. And I'm thinking just because, oh, well, maybe it's because it's New York and sometimes that happens. Nope. Sling drops the NBC SW, you know, Sports Washington channel. That's it. Like, they're done.
Stupid.
100% stupid.
Stupid.
And so Ian, who's worked in TV forever, prior, well, before what we're doing now, was like, oh, it all comes down to contracts and money. You know, Sports Washington wants this, and NBC wants this, and Sling wants this, and therefore they're just going to go ahead and pull it. It's like, are you fucking kidding me? So the game, so that game, nothing. And I was like, and of course I appreciate the everyone on our Power Play Point podcast Facebook page for being like, listen, you're not missing out on anything. But I didn't see the whole Oshie hitting Sammy and having Vanacek come in and how the hell we lost 8-4. So that really sucked. And then all of the other games. I mean, I do. Like, I have forever been, you know, John Walton's biggest fan. Love the guy, hence our intro. But it's just not the same not being able to watch the games. And I've tried, and my brother-in-laws have been fantastic. Like, oh, hey, use my login and whatever. But because one's in New England and one's in Florida, it's not the same. You know, it's like if they work for the Bruins, they work for, you know, Tampa Bay, but they don't work for the Capitals. So I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah. So we literally have a fish out, or well, more appropriately, a mermaid out of water scenario here.
Yes.
Where we have someone who is going to be needing to watch some Caps games and can't. Yeah. So if anyone, well, anyone in the DMV, but particularly in the North Central Virginia area, has any ideas or solutions or suggestions for Anna, we would be wide open to that, because you've not only got this podcast, you've got Sports on the Hill as well, and they rely on you for that. So you're in a bind here.
Well, I am, and I feel like I'm not going to be as enthusiastic because I'm not watching the plays. So like, just reading stats is like, anybody can do that. But if you actually are watching, you know, like an Orloff score in overtime and seeing their facial expressions, it's a little bit different than just having to read that Dmitry Orloff scored in overtime and won the game for the Caps a couple days ago. But anyways, so yes, I don't want anything illegal. I don't want to mooch off of anybody's accounts, although I would pay somebody, of course. But what the hell? Like, what are Sling people doing? Because we were paying this $45 a month for just basic whatever, and now all of a sudden everything is $65, $70, and a bunch of channels I will never watch, including NASCAR. So I don't know.
Well,
I'm annoyed.
I don't either. And Devils just scored. That's not too bad. But as we're recording this, of course, still got one game to cover, and that's today's game, which is still going on. There's 9:45 left in the third period, and Devils just scored to make it 5-3 Caps. So it's familiar position, but we'll get to that later. So let's hop into the on ice action that has already ended.
Yes.
Okay. So where we last left you was, we'd covered the Sunday Rangers game where they had just eked out the win. And then the next game after was that Tuesday, March 30th.
Which sucked.
Yeah, it was a 5-2 loss. It started out okay, seemed to start out okay. TJ Oshie opened the scoring at 2:23 on the power play. Nice little slapper. And then Nick Dowd a couple minutes later with a backhander. And then the Rangers got one back with 4.5 in the first. No goals in the second. And we're thinking, okay, well, it's not looking bad. It's a tight game, but it's not looking bad. And then, then the wheels fell off.
Yep. It was bad.
Like a 1948 Studebaker, they fell off completely.
Yeah. Like a Pinto.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. One, two, three, four goals straight. In fact, all told, it was five straight goals unanswered, but four in the third period alone. Kako, 4:10 in the third. Fox, 6:32 in the third. Panarin, that one was the backbreaker, 15:41 in the third, and Buchnevich with the empty netter to seal it, 19:25. Three stars, Panarin, Shesterkin in goal for the Rangers, and Kako. This was I wanted this to be a teaching moment for the team, but I don't think they really learned anything from it. Let's just go over the vitals real quick. 32 on paper. I mean, it didn't look like a bad game. Just one damn period that they fell apart, but 32 shots on goal for the Caps, 27 for the Rangers. So not too bad. Shot wise, faceoff percentage, pretty good night. 55.8 win percentage. Okay. You're supposed to be in possession of the puck. What the hell? I wish they had like complete broken down third period stats for all this stuff. Mm-hmm. 1-for-3 on the power play.
But there's penalty minutes.
The penalty minutes, yeah, they look they look worse than they were because, well, I mean, yeah, they did. Tommy got a little carried away at the end. I think that's the most of those 16 minutes. He got a little ticked off at the end. He let everybody know about it, which, you know, you're having a game like that. Hey, it's going to happen. So, you know, and so that looked worse than it was, but I mean, it boils down to they had a really bad third period and they just let the game get out of hand. So, I mean, I guess they kind of walked away from it and figured, all right, well, we had one bad period and that's that. So moving on. Okay, so then comes the game where, appropriately enough, it was played on April Fool's Day. So it sounded like an April Fool's joke was, or looked like an April Fool's joke was being played on us. No, yeah. It was not. This was the big ass 8-4 loss to the New York Islanders. We don't have time to go over the scoring summary.
there's no reason to, because this, like I said before, this was the game where Sling took away everything and everyone was like, don't worry about it, you're not missing anything. 8-4 sucks. Comments from people on our Facebook page that I have total respect for, when they tell me that the team did not show up, that they looked tired and they didn't play 60 minutes, I believe them. So,
yeah. And okay. So that plus, I can sum it up using that plus a couple other things. Matt Barzal had a hat trick and could not be contained with a steel cage or and a shotgun. John Carlson had somewhat of a decent game, getting two goals, and Daniel Sprong got himself on the score sheet. So with the turn of the weather, it's kind of appropriate. In Sprong time, the only right or wrong time, birds sing, hey ding, a ding ding, goal scores ring, Dan Sprong.
Okay.
I know. You didn't miss that. So
go no. on. But you know what? If it was 8-4 Capitals, I would have been like,
yeah, I know.
You know what, Gil? Sing away and give us a freaking encore.
I
would have been for it, but
I'm trying to put a positive light on it. But yeah, I mean, you can't,
she just can't.
You can only, you know, shine up a pile of shit, you know, so much.
Which I don't know why you would, but okay.
Yeah. So yeah, this is the one. Let's draw a complete line through this because yeah, other than the fact that the Caps, I would like to think, learned their lesson in this game, because yeah, like you said, they didn't show up. Only 22 shots on goal. They converted their only power play chance. The hits that probably ramped up towards the end, because they realized they were getting pissed and outplayed.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, well, the takeaways, I think that's the most telling stat, because it shows you who was more active on the forecheck. 10-2 Islanders. Yeah, that's, you can't have that. You cannot allow that to happen. So yeah, that pretty bad. So yeah, let's put this in the casket and throw dirt on it, because obviously, we all saw it, and we know how awful a game. Oh, you know what? You know what? No, we can't. We can't.
Why?
Because, okay, because this game was so bad. Something very, well, like I said, two things very strange happened. Of course, 30 seconds in, TJ Oshie knocks out his own goaltender.
So oh,
you
right.
kind of knew
it was going to be
a very strange game, maybe not in the, hopefully not in the bad sense, but you knew it was going to be a weird game, but we just didn't know how bad.
Mm-hmm.
So there was that mess, because poor Vanecek had to come in cold and quickly gave up two goals because he was cold, and then Sammy went back in and ended up being the losing goalie anyway. But about about halfway through the game, and I want to say it was at a point, and more on this guy later, but it had something to do with Dmitry Orlov. He had the puck and he was either hit or had a shot that missed or something. But the last thing I remember was it was about 10 or 11 minutes in. Orlov had done something. Next thing I know, bowl of popcorn comes flying towards me.
Oh boy.
Hits my leg, bounces off my leg, flies all over our living room floor. And I turn to the only other person in the room at the time and asked her if she was enjoying the game. And of course she was not. No, actually what I'm joking, of course, but it was actually an accident, but
I was yelling at Orlov not to let the Ranger in front of him.
It was the Islanders.
Well, whoever.
Yeah, that's how forgettable the game was, but yeah, there was, I was severely assaulted by a bowl of snack food, and, I will never forget it to this day.
Thank God you survived.
Yes. Thank goodness for that. But yeah, that's in and of itself, other than the really bad stuff happening, made the game, even though we wanted to forget it, somewhat memorable.
There you go.
But yeah, I mean, there's nothing more to say about it. They knew how bad they played, and then that led to some lineup changes for the next game, which mm-hmm. was the very next night in the Garden State against the New Jersey Devils. Richard Ponick, who had been sitting for the last game or so, the last two games actually, thank you, was inserted back into the lineup and replaced Jacob Vrana, who got the same come to Jesus talking to as did Evgeny Kuznetsov last week.
Yeah.
So, and that was that. I don't know if that in and of itself was what sparked the team, but Caps played a much, much better game that evening. Well, overall, all things considered, it was a much better game. Win or lose, it would have been a much better overall played game, I would think. It's a 2-1 win in overtime against the Devils.
Can I forgive Orlov for my missing pop?
And this Orlov, shall we say, redeemed himself for the popcorn being airborne in this game, but we'll get to that in a second here. So a quick scoring summary: Carlson, his 10th, opened the scoring, assisted by Lars Eller, 8:22 in the second. Michael McCloud, speaking of Mick, was that the McNugget McMinute?
No, that must have been.
So can we Mick forget about the McNugget McMinute?
Mick, please.
Mick, please. Okay. Well, I Mick will. McCloud scores to tie it up. This all in the second, of course. No scoring in the first, and no goals in the third. So off to overtime we go. Oh, geez, Devils just scored. You know what that means?
Oh, shit.
Set your sphincters on Titan. And then who should come to the rescue in the dying seconds of overtime? But Dmitry Orlov, with an end-to-end rush all by his lonesome, takes the puck, streaks down the left wing, strides over the blue line, decides to call his own number, takes the shot, and roofs it perfectly. So perfectly, in fact, you couldn't see it unless you saw the second replay.
Or the third, or the fourth.
And... well, let's just say I think he was probably the last person on Earth who expected the puck to go in, just judging by his facial
expression. Yes. Which,
hopefully, if you're a member of our Facebook page, you saw, because I tried to make that plain as day. And appropriately enough, that was enough to make him the number one star of the game. Run of the stats, 40 shots on goal. Like I said, much better overall played game. Had they, even if they'd lost and gotten the loser point, it would have been a great improvement, I would have thought. Didn't give up too many shots, 23 shots given up, 56.7 at the dot. Didn't convert either one of their two power plays, but can't win them all. Not too many penalties. It's a typical New Jersey game. Not a whole lot of hitting going on there. Mm-hmm. So and puck possession seemed to be even, if not slightly, in the Caps' favor. Shots on goal per period, 9, 15, 13. That's the pattern you want to see ramping up as they go in the game, and 3 each in overtime. So again, the total of 40 for the Caps. So pretty good overall game. Again, I would like to think that they learned their lesson. Of course, you know, the Devils not exactly the greatest team, but you know, you expect to do well against a team like that. And I think what spoke volumes really was their overall commitment to defense. And that was great to see. Only giving up less than 25 shots is always a good thing with this bunch. It was really great to see. Did you get on the radio? Did you hear John's call for any of that by any chance at all?
Oh no, that's how I've been hearing, watching, experiencing all of the games. So. And that's just how it's going to be. But I will say that I think, Laviolette, like, I think somebody said when I posted that he took Rana out of the games, And somebody was like, oh, it's Savage. That's awesome. And I thought, you know what? I agree. Like, it was a good thing and it needed to happen. But for some reason, the chemistry felt so much better in this Devils game than it did, you know, the 8-4 loss. Yeah. There was a disconnect. And I hate when I have to use that word because it's like, be like, oh, the chemistry wasn't there, but it, like, there was a disconnect. It's like for a hockey game to be 8-4 is ridiculous. Like, that scoring is it's just not okay. So they had a very off night, and it's nice to see them coming back. And let's just hope it continues, because I know we do have the Islanders coming up on Tuesday.
Yeah, that'll be one of several interesting games coming up. Speaking of interesting, the one in front of us right now, Devils just pulled their goalie, and there's a faceoff in the Caps. And right now, 2:15 left, still 5-4, keeping one eye on this like a blind fish of sorts. Okay, but yeah, I agree. And Laviolette is – he's – And Alan May has heaped praise on him for this, and rightly so. Laviolette realizes that what he's got to work with is a closing window of a team that ain't getting any younger, and the window for them winning another cup is rapidly closing. So the time is now. So there's no time. He realizes there's no time for coddling. There's no time for hurt feelings or anything like that. He has to do what is A1 best for this team. And if that means sitting a guy who, look, you know, we all thought would be a little bit more consistent by now, or better, or playing closer to his potential.
Yep.
You know, that means that's what happens. And, you know,
I respect it. And I will say, listening to John Walton today saying, has there been a coach since, I want to say he mentioned Boudreau, who has changed the lines so much, you know, like not keeping everything the same and changing things up. As much as Laviolette has, and the fact that they were like, yeah, that's who he is, and that's what needs to happen, and don't get too comfortable in, your position that you think that you should be. You've got to earn that, and good for him. And I have forever been a number 13 fan from the beginning, but you know what? If you're not doing what you're supposed to do, yeah, you're going to sit out and you're going to watch somebody else come in, and hopefully that's – and that works for Rana. We've seen it before. We've seen him, you know, having to be benched and then coming in and you know, winning, in an overtime or shootout or whatever it was recently. But I don't know. Like, I think that's – he's no joke, and I kind of appreciate it. He's not a hothead, you know, he's not screaming at the players, but I think in the locker room, you're kind of like, holy shit, am I going to get the Cobra Kai headband thing? Oh no, we lost, so maybe I'm going to get my ass ripped. You know, he's going to go off on me or something.
Yeah, no, so. I do like that a lot. Everybody's accountable, and like I said, you got to understand where he's coming from, okay? Yeah. The window's closing. The team isn't getting any younger. The time is now. It's not next year. It's not 5 years down the road. It's now. So, I mean, there's no it's I kind of liken it to what I do in my job, because, you know, there's you have a finite amount of time, even though technically you can, you know, you have to be patient at the same time. But, you know, with in some cases, you have a limited amount of time where you got to get somebody to where they need to be as far as, you know, being able to use their own damn computer.
Right.
You know, you don't have all day. So look, sometimes you got to be a little curt, a little short, and say, look, go here. You know, not please, yeah. please go here and make nicey
do
nice.
It.
No, just do it. And, you know, Vrana is a professional. This does not mean he's a bad player. This does not mean Lavi hates Vrana. This means Lavi wants Vrana to play to his potential and or pretty damn close to it, as long as he's physically able. So.
And I think, sorry to interrupt, and I will say, when you say that you want, as a coach, you want somebody to play to their potential, the potential that you know they can, tells you that there's something, there's a mental block. Work that shit out, figure out what it is while I bench your ass, and then get your head back in the game. And that... And that's where that is about. And that I have 100% respect for.
Exactly. Exactly right. And that is all it is. So look, so if you out there, look, I'm not lecturing anybody or scolding anybody, but that's all it is. All right. And might I add, there was another coach who took the same approach to some extent also with Vrana, who a much younger Vrana, and it did pay dividends, at least in that stretch. Mm-hmm. And his name is Barry Trotz. And well, look what happened, right?
Right. Yep.
Look, folks, it's all about the end result. And that's all we're worried about. Speaking of being worried, so it's 6.8 seconds left in the game. Still 5-4 Caps, still empty net for the Devils. Huge face-off coming up here, and we'll play Joe Beninati / John Walton here if they ever get the puck dropped here. Okay, goes to the corner, and they bury it, killing off time. I think we're good here, and yes, game over.
God.
Oh, boy.
But again... It shouldn't be this close if you look at the I can't. We won, and I'm going to take it because I need the team to be in a good headspace for Tuesday, because Tuesday has me stressing out, especially when I can't watch it.
What I will take away from this game is I don't know that the Caps so much lapsed versus the Devils kind of really, really, really ramped up their game and said, look, you know, ain't no way we're going to be swept by this team this year.
Right.
Let's fight back and just throw it all out there. I think there was some of that. You have to give credit to the other team.
Well, the first period. I mean, the Caps were terrible. So I really wasn't convinced that we were going to win this game. After listening to the first 20 minutes, it was like, what the hell's going on? They're like, you know, listening to, like I said, John Walton being like, they look like they're asleep. They're tired. They're not giving it their all. And then who knows what happens, intermission and something, you know, obviously was spoken about, maybe in the locker room, and they came out. But God, that first period was like, come on. Like that, again, there's the frustration that I think a lot of the fans have, but 100% me included in this, there's not 60 minutes. And I don't know what it's going to take for the Cap fans to say, oh my God, that was the best game ever. It was a full 60 minutes. They're just not being consistent, and it is frustrating as fuck.
And probably the most frustrating as fuck thing about all of this is the fact that they hold on to a lead like it's a hot piece of bacon.
Right. And how the whole COVID thing is working. Yeah. Good luck playing up against, you know, the teams that are in the top of their bubble, whatever you want, division. You know, at this point, it's like, we're out. It's like, oh my God, come on. Like, we're just not playing the hockey that you want to say, like, oh, I know they can play and I know they want to. but there's still, there's just something missing that they can't show it consecutively, you know, and that's what I think is so frustrating. It's like, we have a couple good games and it's like, yes, 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 this is great. And then 8-4, it's like, the fuck just happened? Like, what the fuck just happened? And then, and of course, everyone wants to throw it on Sammy versus Vaynerchuk. And it's like, no. Let's go back to other shit and other players that weren't stepping up. So it's hard.
No, it is. And couple things. But first, I want to toss a question to you. You mentioned something. You mentioned it, and I think you hit the nail on the head here. There probably is something a little missing here.
Mm-hmm.
So the question I have is, do you go out now that, you know, the trade deadline's next week, you go out and get somebody to fill in that little missing, or do you hope they can fill the whatever that is with from within?
I think who this team is right now is good with who they have. And I feel like when you have a coach like a Laviolette that says to a player like a Jacob Vrána, hey, listen, here's how I see you playing, and here's how I see your potential, and here's where you're at. So you change it, you get in the right mindset, and you play, you know, like you fucking want to win. And get into their heads that way, because the team is so close. Like, I mean, and I'm not saying like, you know, points and this and that, just like their relationships. They are so close with each other that something just, I don't know, just there was some sort of disconnect. And that whole Chara Jensen, I was like, what happened there? Like, I'll take credit, you know, throwing Jensen under the bus. And it's like, Chara comes in and things are good. And then Richard Panik was thrown under the bus. And then all of a sudden he's doing fantastic. And then he's like, not. And so something shifted in the last couple of weeks, and they just kind of need to get back to, and I hate when I have to say this because it sounds so cheesy, but they need to get back to loving the game and having fun playing. Because when you over try and overshoot and overpass and, you know, overly aggressively hit somebody into the boards, it just doesn't work out.
And worst of all, overthink what you're doing.
Exactly. It's like, it's just not, you know, come on. So it's like, stop overthinking, make it fun. I want to see, you know, when the team, there is something about the Capitals, and I can say this not just as a fan, but when you watch other teams score and, you know, the players come together like in a pseudo hug, it's very awkward at times to look at. The facial expressions are kind of like, oh yeah, okay, whatever, thanks for scoring. The Capitals, I feel like, are genuinely like, fuck yeah, you scored. Like, you know, today with Ovechkin and the power play goals and tying Brett Hull, it's like, oh my God, he's excited, but so are his teammates. You know, it's like that kind of vibe the team has. And I don't know what happened in the last like week or two that kind of, it wasn't really there. So I think they need to bring it back. So I don't think bringing another person in is going to solve their problems. I just think they need to get back into having fun on the ice and not overthinking things. I hope that answered your question.
No, it answered it. It answered it perfectly. And okay. So that's pretty much what I was actually looking for. So again, trade deadline is coming up pretty fast. It's actually 1 week from tomorrow is the deadline. Mm-hmm. So, maybe not so much us, but some probably a lot of other teams going to be looking to fill whatever's missing with them. So yeah. Now that it just ended, quick rundown of the scoring. First period, like you said, yeah, didn't look too good. Travis Zajac with his sixth at 3:17 opened it up. Almost exactly 6 minutes later, TJ Oshie, Oh, my goodness. This is why I love the man. The backhand shelf. He takes his backhand, reaches the shelf, and steals Mama's cookies so easily, so nicely. I could watch that over and over again. Second period, Connor Sherry, nice to see him. Connor Sherry. Nice to see him back on the scoreboard. Orlov and Schultz with the assists. It's his, Schultz's 16th assist. Nice to have him fully back in the lineup, Vic. I think that's an unsung part of his play that was missed now that he's wearing a regular helmet with the half shield, not the the full-blown aquarium. I think he's a lot more comfortable. Takes the 2-1 lead. The Capitan, Ovechkin, as you said, tying Brett Hull for most power play goals in a career, his 19th. Backstrom and Kuznetsov on the assist. Sharon Govich makes it 3-2 for the Devils. Well, for the Caps, but scores for the Devils, obviously. Okay, and then in the third, Hagelin with his fourth. Really gritty goal, speedy, gritty, hard-working goal on the shorthand from Hathaway and Dillon. Nice to see those. And then Kuznetsov, about a couple, 3 minutes later, 3 minutes later almost, at 5:31 with a snapper, making it 5-2. And this, of course, being the ever-dangerous three-goal lead. And Jesper Bratt, sure enough, at 10:15 would make it 5-3, and Zajac at 15:53 would make it 5-4, and that's where we kind of rejoined you, but Caps managed to hold off. So in the last couple of minutes, they actually emptied their net. Would have been interesting. I wonder if how good anybody would have felt if they scored the McNugget McMinute goal with the empty net.
No, it's so
stupid to
listen to. It's like I even feel the cringe-worthy moment when Joe Beninati has to say the McNugget minute, because I've done radio before, and like they'll tell you, hey, this is what you have to say. And you're like, what the fuck is this? Like, are you, and be enthusiastic about it. It's like, are you fucking kidding me? The McNugget minute. Like, I can't even take it seriously. And, you know, whatever. So, yes, I'm going to stop you on your Mick continuing of whatever.
I was just going to say one last thing. Joe, I love the guy, but he's doing his best to hide the fact that he sounds like he has his arm twisted behind his
back. Exactly. That's what I mean. It's like you are told, okay, so you're told that you have to say, like, okay, whatever pizza place you can get, you know, this and this will happen, and go to this car dealership and whatever. But the fact that it has to be called a McNugget minute or McMinute or whatever the fuck is so stupid. And no, we don't want to listen to it. So to listen to him have to say it, hats off to him for being professional, because I don't know if I could pull it off. It's so stupid.
You make a good point, because it's five goals is the promotion with Papa John's, and there's the whole there's the veterans charity thing, the Burke and Herbert Bank. Every goal they score, it's $100 for that charity. So those are cool things. Those are good things.
Well, and also and the Papa John's thing is like Caps 50, like. Okay, Caps is the team and 50, so they scored five, whatever, you get 50% off. But the McNugget, McMinute thing is, and also, like, I don't know the last time I had a McNugget, to be honest.
If it comes from where I think it does, I don't want to McEat it. Yeah. That's for damn sure.
It's a McNo on this end.
Yeah. And we'll close the book on that. Yeah. I'm sorry. We had to say something about it because.
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, like, when I have to listen to, or no, when I was watching the commercials and there's like that god awful. So it's like anything that has to do with Sherry.
Sherry.
No. The car dealership.
She
or whatever it is. And then there's Coons and it's like, okay, I can't stand that.
Lord.
And then all of a sudden you jump into that, whatever the fuck that commercial is about doing your taxes.
Oh, H&R Block. I like to call it H&R Block the musical.
Yes. It is like, and you and I have talked about this. Like, when we first started, I think you and I talked about, like, who decides these commercials because of the whole, like, Locker and Tom Wilson and whatever, like, when they were, and Barakowski, when they used to do the pizza commercials.
Yeah, I actually miss that.
I would take that in a heartbeat over these ones. Those were awful. They were just they were terrible. And that was like that, you know, that company, the Cox Cable in Santa Barbara, and their local commercial was all of the employees standing outside. And they all like shout, like, we're Cox. And that was like, that was their commercial. And it played during every commercial break for anything local in Santa Barbara and Southern California. And you're like, what were you thinking? What did you think people were going to say with that? So that's how I feel about the McNugget thing is like,
Lord.
Yeah. But we got to love Joby.
Yeah. No, stick tap to him as you said, remaining professional as much as he possibly can about that. All right. So quick rundown of the future games. As Anna already mentioned, the very next game is Tuesday. Back up to Long Island against those same bastards in light blue. 7 o'clock puck drop. That's April the 6th, Tuesday night. Two nights later, come back home. This is a really weird schedule again. They come back home for one game, against the Boston Bruins.
Random.
That's going to be interesting. That's first game back since that game in early March. I don't think I have to tell you what that was all about. And then the very next night they go shuffling off to Buffalo, literally, for another game against the Sabres, 7 o'clock, 7 o'clock puck drop then. And then it's a Sunday evening game. This might even be nationally televised, if I'm not mistaken.
We'll see.
I don't know. No, it's not. And sadly, that may be the only. You're going to have to put up with the NBC crew, or maybe not. Maybe put them on mute and do the whole radio. Let John Walton do his thing. So that rounds out our week that Sunday. So pretty interesting set of games there. And like I said at the beginning, this is playoff mode now, whether we like it or not, because there's 5.5 weeks left in the season. And so not very many games. There are about 19 or 20 games left. And so, I mean, you got to start getting it in gear now if you have any hope of making in the playoffs, or at least maintaining if you're already there. So very important week, I think, coming up. So, I'm hoping our listeners or somebody out there will do something, do the right thing, and hook you up somehow. I'm really hoping.
I hope so too. But like I said, I'm doing what I can. It's just not the same, and I could go.
I know.
I'll figure something out.
Yeah, I think we'll be okay. It's just really sucks crap. All right, so did you is there anything else you wanted to add?
No, I'm good.
Well, I sure hope you are, because the missus did an outstanding job.
Yes, of, she did.
Filling in, but like I said, she's healing more and more as the weeks go by. So she's actually going to be back in the workforce very, very soon. So great. Yeah. Fingers crossed, as she just
told me.
So, yeah, but good to have you back.
Thank you.
So, all right. So, So I think we'll wrap it up here. Happy Easter again to those of you who practice the faith. Thank you very much for listening. So for the Mermaid Anna Knox, this is the Blue Liner on Point signing off and reminding you that you call a retired miner Doug. You call a semi-retired miner by his given name, Doug Less.
No.
Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.